first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 113. Sean Minnow's with us. He's just been to the bar. He's ordered a pint and bought some £3 nuts.
£3 for that.
£3. You can count the nuts on one hand.
I'd want £3 of nuts if I was paying £3.
And we're all going to eat most of them as well.
But, I don't even want them.
No, you just had to put your spend up. Yeah. There we go. We've got Sean, we've got Mike, we've got Stu Hawes here. Say something, Stu.
Something.
That's probably all you'll get out of him. Daniel Silver's here. I'm Jim Staples. Right, 1-1-3. So I discounted the one and went for the 13. 13 is known as an unlucky number.
That's controversial.
Well, was 1-1-3 the formation that West Brom ended up playing that time with the Battle of Bramall Lane?
Yeah. When it actually got postponed, didn't it? Because they had too many sent off. Neil Warnock, God bless him. There we go. Hang on, we're passing the nuts over.
Them, Dan.
I looked at number 13, which is considered the unlucky number within football and within society and life.
Normally a sub-goalkeeper's number as well.
It is true, yeah. I
get annoyed now that England have their sub-goalie as number 12.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why do they do that? Who's number 13?
It's normally like the right back or someone. It'll be Kyle Walker or something.
That's very strange, yeah. Traditionally, number 1 goalkeeper, number 13 sub-goalkeeper, 2 right back, 3 left back.
Why is that?
4.
Why
I don't know, it's just, just the way it was. Oh, what, England? I thought you were talking about the numbers in football.
Yeah, no, well, why was
the sub-goalkeeper in the
12?
Past, when there was no...
No one wanted 13.
When there was no squad names, yeah. It was
or maybe it could have been...
To just have a list and you'd know what position...
If a goalkeeper comes on, it's likely to be... If the other goalkeeper's been injured or sent off, so therefore it's unlucky. If you bring in on your sub goalkeeper,
it used to be that there used to be one sub, wasn't it, back in the day, and maybe that was number 12. So the one sub was number 12. But
and you'd normally put an outfield player, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you wouldn't put a goalkeeper.
So maybe you put the second sub when that was brought in.
Anyway, I typed bad luck football into Google, and the first thing that came out in this day and age was a Twitter feed. It's at unlucky football, spelled FUTBOL. It's actually quite good. Basically, he gives a statement, then he says why it's unlucky. So. Beat Leeds 4-2, sacked.
Yep.
After what's his name got sacked. Tell son to break a leg and good luck. Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah.
Signs for a Somalian team for £320,000 per week. Kidnapped by pirates. Buys a football club. Portsmouth. No, none of this. Most of these aren't true.
Okay.
Buys a football club. Portsmouth.
Good luck.
Buys a football club. Bad luck. It's Portsmouth.
We'll treat you like a brother.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Signs for Real Betis. Talked up to be the next David Beckham. David Bentley.
Yeah.
Signs for a Champions League winning team. Nottingham Forest. Oh. I like that one. That's clever. On a similar vein, signs for a Premier League team. Winning team. Blackburn. As you said, we'll treat you like a brother, Ryan Giggs. Beats the last defender, arrested for assault. I like that. Supports Aston Villa. Supports Aston Villa.
Where
topical,
is Jay today?
Topical. And then,
there's no way Jay was showing up
today, was it? No, definitely not. He's barely showed up to work. One goal off, equaling Gerbmuller's record, injured, which is what actually happened as well. And then the winter break came in. So I quite like that. So give him a follow, at Unlucky Football. He doesn't really need followers. He's got about 40,000, and we've only got about 1,000. So,
instead.
I'm going to tell him to tell people to follow us. But there you go.
Yeah.
Right, football.
Hey,
go.
Football.
Results of the weekend. FA Cup dominates pretty much, I think.
Yeah.
There's only one place to start, isn't there, if we talk about the FA Cup, and that's the mighty Hastings. Surely we've got to go to them.
So. Yeah, I think we should go first.
Going back to this.
Hang on. Stuart Hall saying more than just one
Kieran
word.
Dyer, score an FA Cup replay.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Get sacked.
He should do that. That should be his latest one. Score in the last minute. Yeah, on your way.
And straight away after that, wasn't it? There was an interview and he dreamed of playing. He wanted to play in the FA Cup final. Couldn't wait to play in the FA Cup final.
It's a very strange one. As a QPR fan,
I don't care.
No,
he's not done a lot for us.
He was only playing, I guess, because they made a load of changes.
Yep.
But it's just, yeah, it's strange that he probably
blatantly didn't want a replay.
He got man of the match as well in most. Yeah, that's what people were saying. Redknapp didn't want the replay.
It's probably the last thing we need, isn't it? A replay away at West Brom, middle of the week. We lose that conference, isn't it?
I bet it'll be raining as well.
Probably.
Raining.
Who's your next league game? Are you playing Monday night?
Moved to
12:45 Saturday. It was originally Monday.
Okay.
Replay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Hastings, let's move on to it. They went up to Borough, 4-1 in the end.
Yeah.
But has everyone seen the goals?
Oh, yeah. Bloody hell.
The first Borough goal is good. Quality. But Goldberg, and I'll let you all do
Goldberg.
What an absolute stonker
it's
of a hit.
Ridiculous.
And props to Dan Silva, who bigged him up as the potential first goal scorer.
And you poo-pooed it.
He didn't score first. Yeah. If you'd said the first Hastings goal score, I would have backed that, or maybe Sean May from a thumping header.
Yeah.
But go on then, Sean, because you've been looking out for us. The dream is over.
Yeah,
but I think we've all bloody enjoyed
it. It was a great ride, wasn't it? 9 games.
Did you see how mental their Twitter feed went as
well?
They've been retweeting us all the way through because we've been following them. I think we followed them from the qualifying round, certainly from the first round proper. But I think we've talked about.
We got quite emotional at points. We
did, yeah. When they won in the second round replay, I was definitely fucking emotional. I'll tell you that much. On the verge of having a breakdown.
Really, yeah. Befriended one of their former players.
Did,
so.
Exactly. That's true. Great fun.
But yeah, unfortunately, it had to end and. Good way to bow out with a ridiculously good goal from Goldberg. And they were unlucky as well.
The goals, one of them was big deflection, wasn't it?
One was the goal mouse scramble. The second one was a
shot tipped onto the post, and Goldberg had another one disallowed for a marginal offside. Yeah,
but before that as well, let's when it was still 0-0, their goalkeeper, who they'd signed on an emergency deadline the day before. Yeah, he saved a penalty last night for him as well.
He scored the rebound. Yeah.
Yeah, save a penalty, scored the rebound. Yeah, that's a new one. We're making up his own. Unbelievable, 0-0, and it wasn't a penalty. It was a soft penalty, which was nothing in it at all.
We haven't got bias goggles or anything, but it definitely wasn't a penalty.
I actually don't think it was. No, take his bias off. And for them to save that, because I said if I was a fan going up there, and they took 1,068. Did you see
that's
that?
Right, yeah.
Two off the 1066.
Exactly.
If I was one of those fans. To be 0-0.
Wouldn't have gone in.
No. To have the penalty save would have been a massive moment. If they hadn't have scored, they still would have had that.
Exactly.
0-0. Because you're deflated. It's 20 minutes in or however long it was. Penalty, this is going to go in. And then when that was saved, I bet it was absolutely mental.
You've only got to see, like, with Everton on Monday night, if you score a couple of goals against the lower league team,
it takes
all the heat out of it.
Yeah.
But the longer you go on, that like another certain team well, on Tuesday night who will go on to win a bit in a different cup competition, the longer you go on without conceding, the better it can be.
Yeah, or if it's only one, like Cardiff, Macclesfield, only the one goal.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Mansfield did pretty well to get back in the game against Liverpool. Anyway, back to Hastings for a minute.
The three highlights. I was going to say, talking about Hastings, the three highlights for me was the penalty save, the goal, and I'm going to talk that. Then that tackle.
Sean Ray.
Brilliant.
Have you seen this?
For anyone who hasn't seen it, basically, I think it was a Hastings corner.
Where can I find it?
A Hastings attack.
And
there was a counter attack.
The highlights were on ITV, I believe. They didn't show it on the actual ITV sports package.
Hastings were
only an hour in.
I know.
But on YouTube, there's a fan that's done it from the behind the goal.
Yeah,
and you see it because it's coming towards him. And you see Sean Ray starting the centre circle and coming towards the left back position. And out of nowhere.
This is their player.
What a challenge.
The corner comes over, it's broken down, and Middlesbrough go on the attack. And the player manager tracks all the way back. And as Ishmael Miller's in the box, he pulls the trigger to go for him. It just comes to me.
Riverside
training.
Yeah, Stu has got a history of doing that, but luckily, Sean Ray got the ball, didn't just break a man in half. Look how happy he is with himself as well.
It was a quality tackle. Sorry, go on.
But yeah, I think the highlight for me was when the players went over at the end. And,
like the fact Sean went as if he was being interviewed there. It's a fun
well,
one.
Well, at the end of the day, the lads done themselves proud.
Talking of which, interview, sorry to butt in, but the Sun did an interview with Sean Ray.
Mm.
And did you see the photo of the Sun of all the players done up in the 1066? Yeah. Like,
no, it was, I haven't
you
seen
see
that.
It. So they're all in their armour, and they conducted a whole like 10-minute interview with Sean Ray in his armour. Yeah, and he was answering serious questions, and it was just like
sort of music in the background.
Yeah, exactly. They had like the old Tudor music. It was fucking brilliant. Go on, Sean.
We'll get there eventually.
Taking a swig of my beer.
Sorry, we're going to talk about Aces for a bit. It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And yeah, I mean, Sean Ray got quite emotional at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, understandably. I think every part, every member of his family was there as well.
Yeah, I think they were. And got a couple of quotes. Seeing how happy our supporters were at the end is a memory I'll savour for the rest of my life. And so, rightly so, it's fantastic.
Was that Tony Mel? They were talking about feeling like they came away feeling like it was a 4-1 win. Like, yeah. They didn't care. Like it was just a
apparently they
attempt.
Absolutely tore up Newcastle.
Really? Yes, yeah, they went out. Yeah. And Sean Ray looks a bit of a lad, doesn't he? Let's be honest. Yeah. He looks like a right gangster.
I would like to bump into him in the big market on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Although he is now missing his defensive partner. Did you see this?
I did, Josh Jabandi. Club captain Josh Jabandi. Played 166 games for...
And he's only young, isn't he?
He's 21. Only 21. He's
I didn't know he was that young. Yeah.
He's first joined them on a youth... a work experience placement from Peterborough.
It was meant to be 2 weeks he when played, he was 15.
It was when he was 17. He did work experience.
He was on terms at Peterborough.
That's right. Went back and then came and joined permanently later. Played 166 games. Scored on his final game.
166. That's just nearly zero 10, away 6, from 66. Yeah.
Scored on his last game,
which was last night
to give another draw. But yeah, he's gone off to live in California for 4 years on a football scholarship.
Yeah, so it might well be a name.
Remember that name, Josh Jabandi.
Josh Jabandi, big game for Hastings this weekend as well, playing Enfield, who was second bottom.
That's right.
Hastings
the first time they've ever played.
Is it? They need a result this weekend.
So what are we going to do, fellas? Because initially we started following Hastings, and we said we're going to follow Hastings until they go out of the cup, then we'll follow the cup through. We're going to stick to that. Or does Sean still follow Hastings a little bit, and we also talk about the car?
I've developed quite a soft spot for Hastings.
I've got no love for Middlesbrough whatsoever.
Yeah, I tried to
miss Chanting Goldberg at any possible occasion.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that'd be great to see Aldershot win. If Aldershot beat...
Is that who Burrow got?
Well, yeah. If Aldershot beat
where's
Burrow...
That at? Where's that at?
It's at Grimside Stadium.
Well, to be fair, can I just say... Aldershot did fantastically well to get through. They only beat Rotherham, who were in their league.
Yeah, but
Aldershot aren't very good, and Rotherham are quite good.
Speaking of not very good and non-league, Luton doing over Wolves.
And Mucktown.
And what's right?
Mucktown doing over Cardiff.
He said Macclesfield Town. I'll translate for you.
Mucktown did
the Big Macs.
That was
huge as well.
Absolutely unbelievable as well, because they were 1-0 down with. Yeah. What, 9 minutes left. So
Wolves sacked the manager straight after as well, didn't they?
Well, he's had an absolute mare. Wolves, the players they have. I saw them the week before at Selhurst Park, and God, they are the worst team I've seen all season. They were shocking. And really? The players, you look through their lineup. They've got Sylvain Evans Blake, Kevin Doyle, Jamie O'Hara.
Zinedine Zidane.
Well, exactly. These are good quality Championship players.
Yeah. They've done it before in that division,
exactly.
Especially.
Yeah,
not a massive surprise. Like, Luton, a decent old team, especially at home. Their home ball's amazing.
Yeah, I liked Paul Buckle, the manager, kind of said it's nice to not be the favourites for a change. Because obviously in that league, they're a big side, so everyone wants to beat them.
Well, Luton are a huge side. I mean, I was looking at the games from last night, and they went and taunted Barrow, I think, 6-1.
6-1, John Shaw hat-trick.
But they were still getting 5,000. They were in the top flight only 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They were in the Championship.
They won the League Cup as well, I think,
haven't they? Yeah, they won the League Cup in the 80s to beat Arsenal.
Anyone can win that. Like Bradford are going to get to the final. going back to Macclesfield as well, that wasn't a penalty. They were 1-0 down. The same guy scored. What was his name?
Barnes Homer. Is it?
Yeah. Barnes Warner. 85th minute, and then the 88th penalty, it was a free kick came over, and it was the same. Like, it was a pull. Yeah. And it was nothing in it at all. You can tell because the Maxwell players don't turn around and appeal.
No.
Maxwell players turn around and why is he blowing a whistle? Oh, we couldn't, it was a pen. Yeah, lovely.
Oh, brilliant. But no, that's the highest ranked team to go out to a non league side since Sutton knocked out Coventry City in the 80s.
Ridiculous amount of places
top
between
the Championship.
Because they're only one off the Premier League.
But then talk about pissing on your fireworks. The bloody fourth round draw. You're hoping maybe Macclesfield, Man United, Luton against Arsenal. No, you get what? United in West Ham. Versus Fulham and Blackpool, potentially brilliant.
It's not great, is it?
You were lucky to get a.
We were very lucky to get a draw there.
What a goal from Van Persie!
Fantastic touch.
Pass from Giggs.
It was a great pass from Giggs, but
it's the first touch.
It's the first touch and the finish.
It's
on
like
his right
silk.
Foot. It's disgusting.
It reminds me of a bar of Galaxy, that touch.
Or an Ultra Endurax.
It was fucking lovely. Going down the draw, Oldham at home to Liverpool, that might be interesting.
Well, especially after all that went on last season, was it not with the allegations of racial abuse against the lad for Oldham when they played Liverpool in the cup last season?
Oh yes. Yeah, with the away game. Yeah, at Anfield, I'd forgotten about that, to be honest. Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, I've forgotten about that too. There's also a bit of a storm because the FA are making Oldham give 3,000 of their 10,000 odd capacity to Liverpool fans.
That's ridiculous.
Which is a joke. And also, he was saying he doesn't know how many are going to corporate sponsors, but at least 50 are going to Budweiser alone. Ridiculous.
To be fair, Budweiser have been involved in the FA Cup since the very beginning.
when it started back
in 2010. So...
Fair play.
But Macclesfield, if they play Wigan, that'd be tasty because it's a local game.
But I don't think we're going to get past Bournemouth. That brings me on to some results. I haven't really got the press coverage that I think they deserve. Blackpool drawing at Fulham 1-1. Leighton Orient drawing at Hull. And it took a last minute equaliser by Hull as well.
Yeah.
Leighton Orient, lower mid-table in League One. Hull are absolutely flying. Luton Wolves we've discussed. Nottingham Forest 2, Oldham 3.
Yeah, Oldham's result.
That's an absolutely fantastic result, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely. And it looks close, but Sharp scored in the last minute as well, so they were 3-1 up.
Not as big of a shot, but still a pretty big shot-ish, was Brighton Newcastle.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It was one of the games
that will be good, Brighton Arsenal in the next round, potentially.
Hopefully, yeah, that will be a tasty game.
Because obviously, Brighton, it'll be the first massive club they will have had to the Amex. No disrespect to that wee club in the northeast who were there at the weekend.
Yeah. Showed around Ryobi getting sent off as well.
No, did you see the two bookings though?
Yeah,
it's so harsh.
Yeah, very.
So harsh, the two bookings.
He doesn't look like he. Do that to anyone
it's
anyway.
It's harsh in being a footballer, to be fair.
Well, that's true. That is true. Elsewhere, just a couple of things in the league. Wimbledon won away at Rochdale again. Their away form is really picking up. Rochdale lower mid table.
Kieran Jalali.
Yeah, they might sign Kieran Dyer this week as well.
McCullum scored. I don't know if it's Jamie or what, but so it pushes them out. They are now out of the relegation spots. Plymouth and Bristol Rovers are right in there. Plymouth have appointed John Sheridan as well.
Yeah,
since we last did our show.
And where's Saunders gone?
What does everyone make of that? Because it's a strange one to me.
It's a bit out of the blue, isn't it?
Saunders did very well at Wrexham, and he's done it okay at Doncaster.
He's been doing really well this season. Obviously, he got relegated with them last year. But
we picked up on their form recently as well. Yeah. They won again at the weekend. A big Colchester.
Right.
So they're.
How many years ago was he doing
non-league? It was only a few years ago, wasn't it?
Not even 2 years he was at Wrexham. Who were top of the league when he left them, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's a strange one. If I was a Wolves fan, I don't know whether it's the right fit.
They need a kick up the arse, don't they? And is he the right person to give them a kick up the arse?
If I was a Wolves fan, I'd want someone experienced. I'd want Mick McCarthy. Just what I was going to say. Yeah. But he's the type of character that I'd want in there to give him a kick up the arse, get the experience out of the players that are there. I don't know if a lot of those players have still got Premier League mindsets to me.
I was
gutted thinking about it that Alex McLeish went to Forest because I would have loved him to turn the Wolves.
Yeah.
And then he'd just see West Brom to complete the set.
But I mean, they need someone to go in there, and I don't know if they're going to respect Saunders enough for him to pull that off.
You could see from watching them like up close and personal. You could see it was almost like they were playing to get the manager sacked. Players like Kevin Doyle, who is a really talented player, just didn't look
linked
interested.
With Arsenal a
yeah,
years
I know.
Ago.
Wasn't interested in the slightest. Jamie O'Hara, when he came on, did nothing. Well,
yeah, but
set
to
up
be fair, he was probably pining for the times that he was earning £100 a week. You know.
Yeah, exactly. So he did prefer it back then.
League One results as well. Swindon absolutely thumped Carlisle 4-0. Swindon are looking really strong again, back into the playoffs.
See, Portsmouth. The Canio is going to. What? He's offered to pay out of his own pocket to re-sign John Bostock and some other of their loanies.
Yeah.
So what's he paying out of his pocket then?
£30,000.
Got too much money, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about 8 million lira.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of Football League rules. He shouldn't really be allowed to do it because Football League rules have said they've already overspent, so they're not allowed to pay any more money.
What are the rules of someone going, yeah, I've got a couple of grand in my pocket, I'll buy him?
I don't know, but that he shouldn't theoretically be allowed to do it. They should have to make
do
with that.
I wouldn't talk
about
it.
Yeah, no.
I try and do it on the slide.
What's stupid?
Grand, keep it quiet.
Was it QPR who signed Danny Shitty years ago through money from the fans?
Two fans. Yeah.
Money from the fans is fine. That's legit.
But is it not the same as money from the manager? If he wants to put his hand in his pocket,
yeah, I don't really know.
As long as there's,
I think that they're not allowed to spend more than their. I guess it counts as income, though, isn't it? Doesn't it?
If they spend it, will it mean that they're not allowed to qualify for Euro? Will it break the financial fair play? Because in which case,
at least he's being honest.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just go from you just say it's a private sponsor. Basically, De Canio's got such a massive ego, he wants the fucking publicity.
That's exactly what it is.
But there you go, that's just my opinion on it.
No, it's a fact.
Portsmouth lost to Walsall, I think it was on Friday night. Fabian Brandy scored, he was ex-Man United.
Yes, I saw that.
Ex-Chills. Quite a good, 2-0,
yeah.
Very good player. But did everyone see the 2013 Portsmouth FC calendar?
Oh yeah, there's only three players.
Out of the 12 months,
they should have fucked that off.
Does it go to blank pages
in April? No, they put them on there, but then there's now going to be, at the end of the January transfer window, it looks like there'll only be three of those players still on there. A few of them are still at the club. There's four or five that's still at the club, but they've been told that they can leave.
That's got to be a collector's item,
yeah. And
oh, should we try and get
what were Newcastle?
What
was Newcastle thinking putting Demba Ba on January? It was just asking for trouble, wasn't it?
You never do it. I mean, but it's funny because nowadays people are actually reading into it, because like Nani was left off the United calendar.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, that means a go. But you look at the United calendar.
And there's 12 other players
who are probably more marketable. And like, there was somebody else, I think it was Liverpool, left somebody off.
To be honest,
quite often it's probably players, the sexier players and the players that have got their own endorsements are probably saying, well, no, I don't want to be on this calendar. If I'm going to be on this calendar, then you've got to pay me this amount and this amount on what you sell.
Fair enough.
So they're going to put the shitters on there. Right, fixtures.
Yeah,
there are some really good fixtures at the weekend. The Super Sunday we were discussing earlier is Man U Liverpool, and I told you earlier, Mike, as a Man United fan, I think you might drop points there.
I think we can. We might. It's a derby game. You never know.
I don't think we will.
I'm always going to back us to the hilt. But
Liverpool are getting stronger. They are. We've been saying it for a while.
It's always going to be tasty.
Captain Marvel is back.
It really depends which Wigan turn up. But
it will depend on the Man United Liverpool result. Will depend which Wigan turn up.
City afterwards. As well,
Arsenal City afterwards, which you look at that and you think that's got goals in it, it'll be a 0-0.
Said
that. Elsewhere in the Premiership, Norwich versus Newcastle is an interesting one for me. Norwich were doing absolutely fantastic at home. Since then, they've lost twice at home.
Yeah.
And Newcastle, their last two away games, as you pointed out last week, 4-3 and 7-3. So they've scored six goals, conceded
and
11.
And lost 10 and 12 now. Or is it 11 and 13 now?
Well, they're only 2 points ahead of Wigan, who are in the last relegation spot. Yeah. And I didn't realise Wigan had dropped down that much either. It's now Wigan.
Wigan have had a poor season.
Wigan, Reading,
they'll win.
I was about to say, when we play Wigan, they're one of the worst teams I've seen all season.
But you know what they'll do? They'll start turning it around now.
When their season begins.
I know it's biased as well, but Spurs at QPR going back, Harry. Something I don't.
I think QPR are going to win.
I think it could be an interesting game.
I think QPR will win it because I hope to jinx it for Stu. If QPR win,
he'll probably turn up next week as well. It's always nice to have Stuart here.
That's
true as well. But I've got it down as a draw on my coupon.
To be honest, when Stu does turn up, it's really just the machine. He's not been for 2 years, but we've got stock phrases. Fuck that.
We're
going to get relegated.
There'll be a lot of people, because we got a load of new listeners in December, so there's a lot of people that don't even know who you are, Stu. That makes me sad. Tell them a bit about yourselves.
Do you like long walks on the beach?
Sometimes.
And Ruth Rendell box.
No Ruth Rendell.
No books. Full stop.
He likes a long walk on the beach with Ruth Rendell.
Perhaps.
That's weird. But go on. In the Championship, my pick of the Championship is Hull at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Hull are in second and absolutely flying. Although they did have a bit of a slip up in the FA Cup, if you consider it that. Sheffield Wednesday are 22nd, level with Peterborough, who are 23rd.
How is that pick then? Surely it's going to be a raping.
No, it's a
Alan Pardew.
Fucking hell, take it too far. It's second versus third bottom. It's a massive game.
Yeah.
This is sort of time when Sheffield
Wednesday haven't had terrible form recently.
We highlighted it the other day as well, the fact that Peterborough went to Cardiff and got a result.
Yep.
Barnet went to Gillingham and got a result.
Barnet have been picking up results all over the shop, haven't they?
QPR have been to a few places and got results.
Yeah, QPR went to Chelsea and got a result. And the strangest one out of all of it was...
Did we speak about that?
I can't believe you weren't here for that podcast.
He's not bothered, look at him.
Yeah.
He's not bothered.
You've got a little lob on.
It is funny.
The biggest one of all was Hartlepool going to Sheffield United and getting a win up there. So for you to say it might, it's just going to be a walkover, I'll take some money on that.
Hull have just completed the signings of David Mailer and Robbie Brady, who are both on loan and both doing good jobs there, so they'll be failing as soon as
they've got permanent. What else are you going to give me? If you're going to give me like 20 to 1, then I'll have a couple of quid on it.
Well, that'd be silly, wouldn't it?
Well, it was a silly statement, full stop. Elsewhere, Huddersfield versus Birmingham. Birmingham really, really need a win.
Shame
from
you can't see your facial expressions on this podcast, isn't it?
Dan looks like the opposite of Stuart.
Look how happy Stuart is. Look how happy he is. Moving into League One, Bournemouth home to Swindon. Swindon, as we said, have been flying and in fifth place. But Bournemouth,
quite rightly, too.
Still absolutely. Yeah. What a great result they got as well the weekend. Yeah.
There's no big games in League Two at the weekend. So it's
there's a massive, massive, massive game in League Two. But for anyone who doesn't know, it should do. Gillingham at home to Port Vale. Gillingham in
anyone
first.
Anyone doesn't know, you should.
Port Vale, Port Vale in seconds. If you've got a good grasp of English football, you should know they're the top of playing the seconds. I'm worried.
You've got a good grasp of the English language.
Well, that's I like the football, though. As a Gillingham fan, I'm worried because our home form, we've only won once in five at home.
Really?
Yeah, and our both Port Vale and Gillingham's away form is a lot stronger than their home form. Be a massive crowd then. You know what it's like when your team's got a big crowd in, all the expectations are really high. 9 times out of 10,
but then this is the chance for Gills to make a statement, really, isn't it?
I'm sure the players will be set up right, and they'll be told to go out and attack the game, and it'd be wonderful and get a win. But to be honest, going forward now, I'd definitely take a draw. They've signed Lee Hughes this week as well. Who?
What do you think of that? He was linked with you guys, and you weren't interested, were you?
Well, no. What happened was Port Vale were all but signed, and then we tried to sign him right on the morning.
Right.
That they did, but I'm glad. I wouldn't want him at the club.
Cody McDonald, is he definitely signed now, or is he?
No, it's not happening yet. It's not happening.
But
the thing is with Lee Hughes, a lot of people say, right, wouldn't want him at my club because of the history. For me, it's a combination of that, it's his past, and the fact that I think he would disrupt a dressing room coming in.
Yeah.
The Gillingham players seem quite an unassuming and sort of professional bunch.
Okay.
Someone coming in with that profile.
But since his stint in prison, what's he been like? Has he caused?
Scored goals.
He's definitely scored goals.
Let's just keep it on
the press that we're subsequently.
He got charged with something, but let's just talk about the football side of things. He improves a League Two squad.
Yeah.
If he signed for Gillingham, he would have improved our squad because he's a fantastic lower league footballer now.
Yeah.
Before he was actually a really good Championship footballer.
Well, he didn't signed really, for what, £5 million?
Yeah, it didn't really cut it.
Yeah,
in the
he was a hero at West Brom, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had two spells at West Brom, and when he was there, he was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
but he left the year before West Brom got promoted to the Premier League.
Yeah.
But he scored goals wherever he goes, and he will score goals for Port Vale, so I'm just hoping he's not fit for Saturday.
And
he hasn't played that much football.
Since he did come out of prison, he's done a lot for drink driving awareness charities. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Going back, though, and going quite back to QPR Chelsea, I've got a question for Stu. Does it piss you off that Sean Wright Phillips didn't celebrate? Because I was reading an interesting article about how that could be seen as an insult to the current fans. I know he's doing it to respect his former club.
Exactly, but you're with the new club.
Should you not be?
Everyone does it nowadays.
Everyone does it. It's a fashion. Yeah,
I think
ridiculous.
Personally, he'd forgotten how to celebrate.
It's been so long.
Yeah. So long without a goal. He's probably just forgotten how to celebrate. Yeah. He just needs sort of.
He might not even.
I think you're giving him a little bit too much license there.
I think Sean Derby celebrated enough for him as well. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he even know that
Sean Derby looked like he was going to rip his head off?
Speaking of QPR, Nelson to Toronto FC. What's that about?
He's confirmed as their boss. He'll be playing at the weekend because he's actually our best centre back.
But
after that, I think it's open to negotiation. When he goes, it's up to us.
Because they want him to start before the season starts in March, and you want to keep him to the end of the season, which obviously makes sense. But he's saying, you see the quote, he's saying that he's now playing on glass knees and glass ankles.
Now you are. Yeah, you weren't in office when we signed him.
To be fair, Nelson's always had one eye on a management job.
Whee!
I'm going to the bar.
Probably for the best.
Can you get some nuts? No. I think fair play for him to go. He needs to look at his career beyond QPR. If he stays, how long is his contract?
Up
to
the end of the season.
Okay, so, he's definitely still one of your best defenders.
The best defender.
Yeah,
QPR.
Probably.
Bloody hell.
Clint Hill. Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, fair play to him. But apparently, there's been nothing sinister about it. He's had a lot of chats with the board and with Redknapp.
Tony Fernandez and Redknapp have given him I'm
assuming
they probably flew over on that QPR plane.
Yeah, they love a QPR jet, don't they? No, fair play. Right, so anyway, standout performance. Mine's going to be Goldberg Hastings. Anyone else in any advances on that?
I mean, there's Luton.
No, but wait, hang on. There was a little game last night. He's not here, but he might listen back. For anyone who doesn't know, Drome is our resident Aston Villa fan. He's not here today.
He's not here today.
He didn't want to come down.
No.
Jay, you coming to record the podcast? No. I've got a meeting. Yeah. I've got something on. I've got herpes. Like, he just had to get out of there. Bradford made him look stupid.
Oh, they did, didn't they? Jerome was clinging to the
pony. Yeah, and there was no marking. there was no one interested in marking. But
Jerome was clinging to the fact that in the first half they had a few chances and probably should have scored a few. But so did Bradford. Bradford had a chance to go 3-0 up. They had plenty of chances.
Yeah, the header, they hit the bar. Yeah.
Sorry, Sean, they've got some olives for £8.40.
I'm there.
He knows the bargain when he sees one.
We'll be talking about Bradford.
We are talking about Bradford. Or Brazil, as I now call them, because I sent to Sean earlier. Go on.
What did I say last week? Andy Vyman is going to score a load in the Championship next season.
Yeah, you're right. Might well do. One of my housemates who doesn't know much about football, she was looking at it when Arsenal were actually losing to Bradford. Sitting there watching it with an Arsenal fan, he was getting quite frustrated. She went, "Why are Arsenal playing Brazil?" No. And I was just like, yes, I'm jumping on that. So it's not too bad. They only lost to Brazil last night.
Like watching Brazil sometimes last night, wouldn't
it? If only they could do it in League 2, their fans would be well happy. Because they're not going to make the playoffs now, I wouldn't have thought. Because this is just going to take even more emphasis away from
where are they running wrong. 10.
Yeah, they had a really good run. They were in the playoffs up until about 2-3 weeks ago, but they had a really bad Christmas time. Dropped them right back out.
Speaking of Bradford, do you see Michael Owen get into a little bit?
I did, yeah.
It's a blessing. It wasn't his fault, really.
No, yeah, I was talking about this.
He's tweeted the fact, what a game this is, Bradford are on fire. Now,
and you imagine if Joey Barton had tweeted it.
Yeah.
Because
Joey Barton
Owen
would have put a clip to a YouTube video with it. That would probably
Joey Barton. Michael Owen obviously didn't mean it, and Joey Barton could have easily tweeted something like that and not meant it.
It's about their profile. It was Bradford Stadium fire of 1985.
Yeah. I think everyone knows. Because of Michael Owen's profile, it was like, oh yeah, fair play. Like, obviously, you've just gone that. Someone with a different profile.
Speaking of Michael Owen's profile, he kept a pretty low one in the game against Palace at the weekend.
Did he?
Absolutely nothing. Yeah.
Did he have his nice new boots on though?
I didn't even notice.
Well, he's always been Umbro, but Umbro have been bought out by Nike and they're doing all these changes, so he's now got to wear Nike boots.
Until he got subbed off, I didn't realise he was playing.
Might not have been wearing boots.
You were there with is he a Napoli fan?
He's a Napoli fan.
And he'd never heard of Peter Crouch
or Michael Owen.
And he apparently he's a massive football fan. That's never heard of Peter Crouch. I can sort of understand,
but Michael Owen.
No, Peter Crouch more because he's such a sort of.
Did he not win the Ballon d'Or? Like Jan Koller. Everyone remembers Jan Koller, big freakish striker for the Czech Republic.
And Peter Crouch's robot.
He scored goals at the World Cup.
Because of great robot.
Yeah, and again, Michael Owen won the Ballon d'Or?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. Never mind. If someone can find Michael Owen on a football pitch, then let us know.
Moving on to Ballon d'Or, that was a really good little in.
Yeah, whilst we're talking about Ballon d'Or, we have got.
Did you see Ronaldo's face?
Yeah. Oh, it was absolutely brilliant.
Wasn't it? That was
the other Ronaldo. Did you see when old school Ronaldo was being rude
to his brother?
He's lost a bit of weight though. They showed it. He has lost quite a bit of weight.
Didn't he go on
the weight slimming program?
He's lost a lot of weight. He was being interviewed.
That's better than the celebrities we get on Celebrity Fat Club over here.
He was being interviewed.
Russell Grant
and Iker Casillas walked past with his girlfriend and pinched his ass while he was being interviewed. It was quite a nice little bum squeeze for him. It was quite nice.
Daniel Greenfield, your pal, Dan, and.
He's not my pal, I've never met him, but...
Oh, really?
Oh, that's not nice, though.
Great.
I'm sure he
could be.
I'm sure he could be friends.
Our loyal listeners.
Anyway, him and someone else who I can't remember, they both asked us our thoughts on Ballon d'Or and the fact that Tim Bevan was the other one. Van Persie, did he deserve to get in the World 11?
No, but Yaya Toure definitely did.
I'd say Vincent Kompany definitely did. Marcelo.
The fact that every single player PK hardly is from
played
League
last
One.
Season.
Yeah, it is.
From League One?
Sorry, La Liga. League One.
League One, that would be.
I did lose.
Of the French League.
We've also got a couple more list of comments as well. Jake
Azzalini.
Thank you. why do the commentators on FIFA and call all the A-League players stupid names?
I reckon I've got that. I reckon that's probably because...
I don't know. I don't play as... Well, I did actually. I played as Newcastle Jets once on FIFA.
What?
But I tend
you
to not.
Sorry.
And they
bastard.
Called Emil Heskey a footballer. It was yeah. weird. I mean,
just linking on that. Nicely, Curtis Good for Bradford last night.
Yes.
Yeah. Very true. But no, I think the answer to that, Jake, is what I'd imagine it's like the old school Pro Evo, is that they haven't got the rights to the names
surely
of the A League.
Surely FIFA have the rights.
Well, yeah, but you,
if they've got the rights to the A League, you would think they have the rights
to the players.
Yeah no, if they've got the kits.
No, no, but they used to do it. Anyway, but that's what
one more one. Which footballer would best suit the job of mafia boss? I went down. If you're talking mafia bosses, it's got to be Martin Yol. He is a mafia boss.
No, he's
full
too
stop.
Nice.
He's too nice.
I'm talking about his appearance.
He does look like Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
But he's too nice. He's
I don't
he's
know
too
about
squidgy.
A boss, but Paolo Di Canio would be the annoying one. He did all the killing and then got shot for getting too big for his boots.
But Joe Pesci.
Yeah, like Joe Pesci in Casino. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yes, I like that. There's your answer, listener. And also, Andre Doubleson wants us to start a football manager challenge as well as a FIFA challenge. So FIFA is
Luton Town.
No, Spurs. Mate, we're doing Spurs.
Oh, what? I don't like what, on football manager Premier League
why?
Teams.
All right, well,
start with someone down low.
No.
Why not?
Because I want to do this. Lower. I don't want to. Leicester City. Try and get him into the Premier League.
Nah, it'd be easy.
I reckon we stop and have a think about that.
Well,
first,
I've got Luton into the Premier League. So
we have got the FIFA one. Stuart, the FIFA one. Any updates for us? Have you started?
I started it last night.
He lost 3-1 to Bradford.
Look, his face is changed.
Yeah, your baby was crying in the background.
So, anyone who doesn't know, what you've got to do is a manager career, be Aston Villa, match difficulty is world class, is that what's troubling you? And financial did you do financial strictness moderate as well?
Yeah.
You did? Good lads.
To be fair, you can't do and much worse you get a job on. Than what's his face is doing at the moment, Paul Lambert.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is it. If you win a cup, you're going
to... semi-finals of a cup.
After the end of one season, we'll stop and have a look at who's done best. I imagine it's going to be who's survived.
I've played 3 pre-seasons, lost at home to Stuttgart 1-0, lost away to Almeria from Spain 3-1, and drew at home with Sampdoria after signing Beckham, Barry and Rolando from...
You signed Gareth Barry back?
Gareth Barry.
Yeah.
Fair play.
That's a good signing.
Rubbish.
Pull him back.
Oh, one more thing on the blend door as well. Our friend Kay, this photo... Yeah. I'm showing the other podcasters a photo. Can you name who she's with?
Shevchenko.
Yep.
Christian Karambo.
Right, we don't know who that is either.
I want to say Frank Leboeuf, but it's not.
No, it's not. Ronaldo.
There's Ruud Gullit and Ronaldo.
Yeah. It's not bad little setup, is it? That's a 5-a-side team.
Very
start
good
off
turns.
With. But yeah,
especially
well, some on the back.
I'm talking about Kay in particular.
Okay.
And Shevchenko.
Yeah.
Considering where he comes from, you can't imagine they get a lot of sun.
I don't think Shevchenko lives in Kiev.
No.
I don't know
in
where he's
from. I think Ronaldo lives on Kiev. And speaking of Fat Ronaldo, I think we've all seen
the best joke you've ever made.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
Controversial.
Fat Ronaldo is going to school in the UK, isn't
he?
What is that all about? That is
and he's working in advertising as well.
He is, yeah.
We might actually come across him.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think some people already have. But Kay Murray, not Kay Murray, what am I talking about? Martin Sorrell, similar. I'm just
How
thinking
have you
of
gone
Kay.
From Kay Murray to Sir Martin Sorrell.
Well, similar profile.
I'll go with it.
Okay. Yeah, Martin Sorrell to the programme, and Ronaldo has his own marketing company already.
Yeah.
So right. He's taking him on almost as a sort of apprentice, I think.
Yeah.
In that I doubt Martin Sorrell will have anything to do with it.
Nothing.
And Ronaldo will probably turn up for a day and then go down the Griffin. So,
the Griffin, if you don't know, Google right. London Griffin, you'll
and then
you'll,
go there.
You know what we're saying. Yeah.
Bring plenty of pound coins.
A little another one from me, Morecambe. Did you see this yesterday? They offered free entry to their fans versus Dagenham. Got a crowd of 4,029, won the game 2-1. The ground owed 6,400 though, so
yeah, that's a bit.
But then again, their average gate is less than 2,000. So to get another 2,000 on there, I imagine Dagenham probably bought about 30 fans because they're not a massive followed team themselves, and they're not going to bring many people to Morecambe on a Tuesday night. It's horrible scheduling. I presume it was a game that was postponed and rearranged.
Yeah, I think
nice they did it for free though. Considering, have you seen how much Arsenal are charging for the Man City game?
£65. They've sent back 2,000.
The lowest.
2,000.
The cheapest ticket is £65. It's about £126 for a ticket. The cheapest possible option is £60, but I think on average it's about £126 for a
average,
ticket.
Yeah. What's the most expensive, I guess, would be like...
You could go up to silly money, couldn't you?
But I mean, I don't think that's a bad idea. If you're a profitable football club like Arsenal, stop an away team bringing their very vocal support
and make the atmosphere more pro-Arsenal. It's
no, I think they're charging their own fans 126 quid.
No, no.
See, this is a comment on the Man City fans. Why they've sent money back.
The Arsenal tickets aren't quite so expensive. Speaking to season ticket holder I sit next to at work, his major complaint last season was that away fans were getting in cheaper than home fans were.
Right.
So
QPR have had massive issues with that. It's just, Stuart's buggered off, but it's just how he is. Twitter update, Jimmy Bernard is on Twitter.
Fantastic.
Jimmy Bullard's on Twitter?
Yep.
Oh, brilliant.
And from looking down his feed, it is the actual Jimmy Bullard. So it's at one Jimmy Bullard. That's a load of
first person he followed was Dan Spiller, wasn't it?
Yeah, strange one. I've got no rhyme or reason to back that up, but a load of former players have basically said it is actually him. I've just spoken to him, so unless someone one of his mates phone up, is it you on Twitter, and he's just gone
and then it's a bit libelous,
which let's be honest, that could well be what's actually happened.
Speaking of Twitter, Marvin Sordell, he's had his phone confiscated by Duncan Freeman because of his Twitter addiction
and Facebook apparently. He's got a social media addiction, so he's getting help for his social media addiction.
Yeah, by having his phone taken off him.
Brilliant. Yeah. It's not been at school.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, you can't tweet during class.
Well, another story.
Who's had their
Marvin phone? Sordell.
Yeah, he's had it taken off because he's addicted to social media.
Another story. Sergio Aguero has
tweet
broken
us
up. Sergio Aguero has broken up with Maradona's daughter.
Has he?
Apparently,
and torn his hamstring.
This is going to shock you. Apparently, it's because of her partying lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't know where she's got that from.
No,
I'm struggling to think where she could have.
He's going
to
be out for a little while, isn't he? Because he's tore a muscle on his hamstring and.
Oh, she's going to be out for a little while as well.
And speaking of piles of shit, which we weren't, but I'm going to say because it's that bad. Joe Hart, have you seen his bloody
advert? The dandruff commercial.
Oh, no,
that
is
terrible.
Have you not seen it?
Basically, he's on the pitch, the physio gets called on and washes his hair.
I like the sound of it.
I like it because it's just so bad. And he's obviously not taking himself too seriously.
He doesn't know Joe Hart, which I like about him.
I shock him, but not as bad as the new Chrysler advert, which features basically players from United and Liverpool, half of each face, saying the same thing about
together.
Their club being the biggest in the world.
Yeah, load of bollocks.
What?
And
it's awful. Look out, the new Chrysler advert.
Is that
terrible.
Like a running campaign, or is it just
well,
to build
I think
up
it's
to
just
game?
In the build up to this game, but I'm gutted that they haven't got a face that is half Evra, half Suarez.
It needs the overhang of Suarez.
Yeah.
Right, any more?
Yeah. Naughty boy. Go on, you go first.
I've got a couple of naughty boys, but I think probably one of my favourite quotes of the week so far is Silvio Berlusconi calling Mario Balotelli a rotten apple. Yeah. Now, if there's someone that looks at your own house in order, I'm sorry, Silvio, you have got no leg to stand on with calling someone else a rotten apple.
Exactly. On that same note, it was nice to see him come out in favour of the racism stance of Kevin Prince Boateng when he...
You're getting two people mixed up there.
Silvio Berlusconi?
Yeah.
Berlusconi came out and said...
Is Sepp Blatter?
No, I'm talking about Silvio Berlusconi. He said it's a
nice break. One, Dan.
Yep.
You're getting two people mixed.
Exactly, yeah. Let me finish. Silvio Berlusconi came out and said, oh yeah, racism's a horrible issue. He himself campaigned for a mayor in Milan. On the basis that if she didn't get elected, Milan would turn into a gypsy town. So it's nice of him to...
Fair. Sorry, I apologise, Shawnee, but I thought you were... Yeah, Sepp Blatter. You know, Sepp Blatter said that... It's difficult, because he said that he did the wrong thing in walking off, but he applauded the courage for him to do it. It's weird.
But I can see where he's coming from in this. I mean, he's been castigated in the press for this, but if every player walked off... it could lead to all sorts of situations.
But that's the thing, if every time a player was called a puff by someone in the crowd just as an insult and they walked off,
it's fair.
But at the same time, I'd applaud him.
Did you see that Pro Patria is the team that they paid? Have you seen what their punishment is?
They've got to pay
one game behind closed doors, and apparently
they get about 2,000 a week. Anyway.
Was it
friendly they were playing anyway?
The Lega Pro, I think it's an Italian footy website, basically said that they were fined in October for, in quoting, similar incidents.
Yeah,
I can imagine Pro Patria means like for the country. So I can imagine it's quite a right wing club.
Well, yeah, speaking of racist naughty boys, have you seen Ruud van Nistelrooy at
yes.
Marbella's yes. annual on the Epiphany, which for the non Catholics, which was the 6th of January, when the three kings were supposed to go and see Jesus? They have a parade where they get three sort of local celebrities, obviously him playing for Malaga in the past, to dress up as the three kings. He dressed up as Balthazar, who is, was black.
Sergio Ramos has done this in the past.
So he blacked up.
Rude by nature.
The pictures are quite hilarious because he looks like the worst black man ever.
It's just a terrible photo.
But there's also, they have other people and it is part of a local fate. It's not like... the Minster
show. It's not like the Leeds fan.
It was compared to the Leeds fan, which I found hilarious.
But, never mind.
Naughty boys back in the day. You see Van der Meijde, the old Evertonian.
Van der Meijde, sorry.
I think it was this week. It was sort of a confess all interview.
Yeah, on Radio 5 Live.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I read some of it as well. It was mental. Like one of the biggest things was that he quoted as saying, "I basically he was cheating on his wife like the entire time he was in Everton."
Yeah.
And he said, "I said to my ex-wife that I wanted to go to a hotel because I was injured at the time and I needed some rest, but that was not the case. I was just cheating on it."
Yeah.
And he actually had another life with a bird living in Liverpool.
He's really candid. It's a really good interview.
He's talking about drinks and drugs.
When he left Everton, he spent a year just living in Liverpool on drugs with a mate.
Yeah.
That's what he said. But if
the best thing about it
is if you read, obviously there's some really candid stuff. He opens up, it's quite personal. But the best thing, best insight I saw was the reason why he chose Everton over Monaco. And it was because his wife at the time, she really loved zebras. And in Monaco, they were only offering a small apartment for them to live in. And she wouldn't be able to hang her massive pictures of zebras on the wall. And so they went to Liverpool.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
The situation certainly wasn't black and white, was it?
Oh, come on.
Mike, give me some nay good.
Zebras don't nay, do they?
Well, the horses aren't the effects.
I don't know about that. Melbourne Heart update.
Right.
We've got to put my foot down. If you've got any other news, we can do it next week.
Let's do this shit.
I just got to say, Schneider to Galatasaray, do one.
Schneider to QPR was even funnier.
Yeah, it's funny.
Also, hang on, we've got a new section as well. Mike, next week, can you look up Woodford United?
Yes, I've done some looking. I've contacted the club. They are the worst club in English football.
And we're going to start talking about them as of next week. So, Mike, that is your task for next week. I know you've done a bit, but we'll have a little look at that next week. Two very quick things. They are going to be quick. They won, I know that much.
But they didn't just win. It was bloody good. It was against Brisbane Roar. And they went 3-0 up after about 55 minutes. Stormed into a lead. Then David Williams, who'd already scored the first goal, got sent off, and they luckily managed to hold on. Berisha, our mate Berisha, scored two for Raw, but they managed to hold on to a 3-2 win, which means maximum points so far in 2013.
Brilliant!
Which is a great start. They've jumped up to 6th in the table.
Fantastic!
And it's a great start to 2013. Real good turnaround.
I love the fact that the two clubs who signed major players in the summer, Sydney and Newcastle Jets, are right down the bottom.
I know, it's brilliant. Next game is at home to Adelaide United, who are sitting second, playing very well. It is a massive game. You can get points from that. Yeah, Hart are looking good. I mean, they're in the top six now. They're in the playoff place. Yeah. So, I mean, and after a poor start. But do you know what they've done? Well, there's one other thing I really like what they've done. That they've basically, they've set up this thing called a special three-game flexi membership.
Yep.
Whereas for the next, there's five home games left up until this last one's the 16th of March. And you can basically pay $55 or $85. And you can basically, you get the license to go to any three of those, of the five games, whatever's available to you. So I quite like that. It's like a different thing that they're introducing. I think it's a good thing for the club. They're actually
making it
so that if you can't go to, you pick and choose the ones you can go to. And anyway, make sure you go and support the Heart. Good Heart.
All right, email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, The Football Pubcast. You can search it for yourself. Complaints?
@SimonHead.
Always the same. Visit us, www.footballpubcast.co.uk.
I put up a blog for the first time in ages.
Oh, well done.
Just
well done.
Video.
And most importantly, we're on Twitter, @FootballPubcast. Follow us on there. You'll find us all the shows on there, all the blogs, everything we're talking about. We're all off to buy some more nuts.
Three.
Goldberg.